What is the light that dances across the surface, or the shadow that lies beneath? In the silence, between the whispers and glances, there's a force, unseen, unfelt, but deeply known. It calls to us from the echoes of the past, a siren song of desires unspoken, dreams untouched. The journey begins not with a word, but with a whisper. A quest into the essence of allure. Step beyond into a realm where glamour weaves its quiet spell, where the mysteries of the mind and marketing are one. Welcome to Manipulation Games.
Welcome to Manipulation Games, Psychology and Marketing Podcast. I'm Darren with our host, our marketing expert, Gene Alder.
Yeah, Gene nice? Alder. Gene Alder is kind of my stage name.
Your stage name. So it's, yeah. Look how fancy this guy is.
Well, I don't know. It's when I was working marketing, it's like I found that it's good to have like a name that people can like write and pronounce. And it's just a translation of my last name in English.
Interesting. So, well, before we get into that, we should probably explain why we're wearing sunglasses.
Yeah. Well, it's related to our topic today.
Yeah, right? We're not just trying to be douchebags here. We're actually.
I don't know. Sometimes I want to be a douchebag. Sometimes you need to give yourself permission to be a douchebag.
I love it.
Today, you know, in some ways, we can think of this as our first episode.
Yeah.
And the last episode is like episode zero because we didn't really know what we're doing. We were the fools stepping off the cliff, trying to figure out where we're going, right? Uh-huh. And since then, we've come up with a name.
Yes, we have a name.
Right.
And I know, so
the name of our podcast is Manipulation Games.
Yes, I love it.
We wanted something a little bit edgy, something a little bit intriguing, kind of, and something that gave us a wide umbrella to kind of think about, you know, all the different spheres of manipulation. Yeah. Marketing being the form of mass manipulation.
Yes.
Right. But then also to be a good marketer, I think you also need to be you need to understand yourself. Mm-hmm. And you need to understand others in interpersonal settings. So self-manipulation, interpersonal manipulation,
and then
mass manipulation. Because again, in all those cases, you're essentially trying to communicate to the deeper parts of the brain.
No, totally. I get it because I feel like there's so much crossover in our podcast with marketing and self-improvement, which I noticed just from listening to you from our episode zero of our podcast.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of the stuff was so relatable, but it wasn't just about marketing. It was also about, wow, I can actually utilize some of these tools to actually improve myself.
Yeah.
And just be like a better person or like just enable myself to, you know, like almost trick my mind into being more productive, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. And so again, like to be able to essentially manipulate others, right? Mm-hmm. I think it requires a good sense of essentially empathy, the ability to project yourself into other people's minds, understand what their experience is. And for that, it's also having a self-understanding is very powerful too.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So the reason we're wearing the Ray-Bans is that for like kind of our first episode, we wanted to do something a little sexy, a little fun. And the topic we're going to go into is kind of this. It's a magical topic, the topic of glamour.
Yes. Right. I am so excited. I've been, when you told me about the subject matter, what we were going to cover today in this podcast, like I was like, whoa, that's amazing. I've never thought about what glamour was even, or how to even present it where you can actually understand the core concept, but what defines glamour.
Yeah.
And then utilize it into your marketing. Like, I just want to dive into the subject because it's just fascinating.
Very cool. Yeah. And so the thing is about glamour is that it's this magical thing that we kind of all feel like we know what it is. We know when we see it, or we know, more importantly, we know when we feel it, right?
Yes.
But one of the things that really opened my eyes about it is actually this book right here, which is The Power of Glamour, Longing, and the Art of Visual Persuasion. I don't know if it'll be seen on any of the cameras, but it's by a lady named Virginia Postrel. And what this book has done, and I oftentimes actually, like when I try to teach somebody marketing as a fun way to kind of start off like kind of a lesson, is kind of start looking at this book and some of the questions it asks, right?
Yeah.
What this book does very well, and I feel like it's a very academic book.
Uh-huh.
It goes deep into what is glamour and how it works.
Yeah,
and that's going to be kind of a big part of kind of informing what we're talking about today.
I mean, I love the cover itself. It doesn't look like an academic book at all. Yeah. It looks like a coffee table book that you could kind of easily pick up.
Yeah.
And just kind of like,
and yeah, for those who are listening, so the cover, there's a lady on it who is kind of looking out into the distance. She's wearing this kind of country club tennis outfit. She's sitting on this balcony, knee up, kind of in repose, relaxed. So very kind of like, you might think she's, you know, somebody rich, elite, maybe a trust fund, you know, daughter or something, right? And kind of, you know, looking out into the distance, you can't really see her face, yeah. Which we'll get into why that's important with glamour. Yeah. So I guess let's start with trying to define glamour.
Yes. What is glamour?
Okay. So this entire book tries to spend the entire time trying to do that. But I made some bullet points for us to kind of guide us through it. So glamour essentially casts a spell. Ooh. Right. So the word, if you go back, means to glamour somebody is to cast a spell.
Oh, so to it's cast actually an a illusion. Verb.
Right. It used to be to glamour somebody is to cast a spell, right?
Oh, interesting.
And so essentially when you're trying to tap into glamour, you are trying to cast this spell. And the spell essentially what it is, it's this emotional feeling that we get, right? From primarily a visual thing. So it's not verbal. It's we see an image and the image creates this feeling of glamour within us.
So it's a visual kind of spell.
It's a visual.
It hypnotizes us.
So almost. The subtitle of the book is The Art of Visual Persuasion.
I see. Interesting.
Right. So its idea, basically what ends up happening is it's an image or it's a visual form of communication, visual persuasion, that it gives us pleasure while at the same time heightening a sense of yearning.
Ooh, pleasure and yearning.
So the big part of glamour is that when you experience or you look at something that's glamorous, it leaves you with this weird sense of longing.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
So a lot of times, one of the ways I initially kind of can describe it to somebody is that if you see a picture of a beautiful woman, but you can't see her face.
Yeah.
Where you know she's a beautiful woman from all the other details in the photo, but you can't see her face.
Kind of like the cover of that book.
Exactly, the cover of that book. You know, other examples can be sometimes like a tourist destination, like a beach, an abandoned beach somewhere, right? You see it, it's kind of, you don't know where it is, but it sort of creates this sense of longing and this, it leads your mind to project into what I guess what I would call kind of the unseen, like an unseen adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Interesting.
And so what ends up basically happening is that for glamour, so it's something that gives us pleasure. We look at it like, we're like, oh, this is cool. But at the same time, it leaves us with the sense of longing, like where there's something like, there's something else that we're missing.
Yeah, I need
right?
to find out. It's like a room that's closed, but you want to look inside, but you don't know what's inside.
Right, yeah.
So you kind of almost use your imagination.
Your imagination projects into it, right? So like it's kind of related and it's sort of like almost a test for like if something has glamour. But if you think about it from the standpoint, like if you horror movies, right, where you can't see the monster, your mind projects the monster to be more, even more terrifying than if you actually saw the monster.
Oh, yeah.
So the glamour is kind of the same thing with kind of beauty and pleasure.
Wow.
And luxury.
That's so cool. That's so cool. Never thought about that, but it is like a...
It's projecting to it.
Projection.
Also, that doesn't necessarily always have to be beauty, pleasure, luxury. You know, another kind of formula that we can talk about that's kind of interesting is like military or adventure glamour, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like that Navy SEAL commercial you see on TV where you see glimpses of a guy jumping out of an airplane or a guy rising up out of a swamp ready.
Uh-huh.
So you see just glimpses, right? So you don't see the full adventure, right? It's like a trailer.
Oh,
right.
Like a highlight
but then
reel.
But your mind then projects kind of what the rest of it could be.
Like a guy, like a Marine coming out of the swamp.
Yeah.
You imagine everything that led up to that moment. It's like, oh my God, that's so amazing.
Yeah, so you just have these glimpses, right? Uh-huh. And then glamour happens in people's minds.
Yeah.
So it's not in the actual thing.
Uh-huh.
It's in the audience, and it's an audience project. You create a space into which the audience can project these like deeper levels of meaning, right? And so you know, so glamour, basically it casts a spell. It generates this like kind of longing feeling in people. And it simultaneously gives us pleasure, but it gives us this like something, the sense of longing, mm-hmm. of something we want more. Mm-hmm. And again, it taps into this element of the unseen. So the lady with the obscured face, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Black and white is very glamorous, right? Because yes, they literally, not seeing of color.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, yeah. That's why oftentimes glamorous things is like, we're not seeing a true depiction of this picture. We're seeing kind of like a limited version of this. And so uh-huh. black and white is very tied with glamour. The unseen adventure, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of things that are glamorous are old, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. our we can't go back to the golden era or what we imagine right. to be a golden era, right? So a lot of times, if you look at glamorous photos like of old Hollywood, right, uh-huh. your mind projects into that space like something like amazing, right? Yeah. Obviously, probably if you lived in that time and you actually went through the day to day of these people's lives. Uh-huh. They probably is not
nothing,
glamorous,
nothing
but it's the projection of the audience into that space that creates this feeling of glamour as a form of visual persuasion.
That's so true, because I look at like old Hollywood, like 50s, like Marilyn Monroe, all the photos are in black and white.
Right.
But then they look so like, mesmerizing, but I just realized it's all in my head.
It's all in your head, yeah.
You know, it's just a moment in day-to-day snapshots of
it basically,
people.
Yeah, it's something that hints at something. You draw the edges of it. Mm. And it hints at it again. The audience projects the rest into it, right? Or just a couple other ones like cowboys and the Marlboro Man.
See, here's the thing that kind of fascinated me, because when I think of glamour, I think of like feminine and beauty things.
Yeah.
But I did not realize it applies to the masculine.
It can
just
yeah.
as much. I feel like the Marlboro Man.
The Marlboro Man, yeah.
He's a mysterious like cowboy. He has, I don't even know if he has a name. They just
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. But, you know? But one of the cool things that kind of comes up in this book, and I do recommend some, you know, you can find it on Amazon, mm-hmm. is that there's these sections in there called the Icons of Glamour, mm-hmm. where it goes into things like, for example, California is an icon of glamour. Aviators, people who fly airplanes are icons of glamour.
Yes.
Princesses. Are icons of glamour. So these are these things, specific things that already have kind of glamour tied into it.
See, every time I see like Ray-Ban, like aviators, those glasses, and there's always a dude in a leather jacket, like kind of looking the distance. That's very masculine, but also very glamorous from a male perspective.
Like, and again, the unseen aspect of you can't see a person's eyes.
Yes, that's why we're wearing sunglasses, by the way.
Which at some point I'm going to take off so I can read easier. But
okay.
But to start us off, I think it does help with the whole glamour bit. So essentially what you're able to do, right, with glamour is that you're persuading through primarily images, mm-hmm. right? While glamour could be video, you could do glamour in video, usually through things like glimpses, mm-hmm. and we'll go into that deeper. It's primarily like it's a still image. Again, it's something incomplete. You see one moment in time. Mm-hmm. And the other aspect of glamour that's kind of important is totems, right?
Yes.
Which are objects that are already sort of imbued with meaning.
See, I didn't know about this until you told me about totems.
Right, and it's something you can leverage with that. So like a totem, again, best described is probably by giving examples. Like, for example, sunglasses are a totem. Yeah. So Ray-Ban sunglasses, right, have a certain association with them, right?
Yeah.
Leather jackets have a certain association with them. James Dean, Marlon Brando, and what I think is the Wild Ones, right? Vintage sports cars are a totem. Rolex watches are a totem. Uh-huh. Champagne bottles are a totem, right? There are things that already have certain associations with them, like champagne associated with glamour, party, you know, Oscars after party, right?
Yeah.
And so what oftentimes happens when you have this form of visual persuasion, right? You're both using aspects of the unseen, right? To be able to allow people to project things, but you're also able to push certain buttons of things that already exist in people's minds and have an emotional association.
I love that, because it's such a practical advice. Is, let's say you want to create like an Instagram stories.
Yeah.
You have all these other brands that put millions of dollars into building this dream image of themselves as a luxurious product that you can just literally put in the frame of your photo or your video or your story. And immediately, as soon as someone sees it, in the background, like, for example, this champagne bottle, you immediately think, wow, that is a glamorous champagne bottle. Like this champagne bottle is like a Lamborghini champagne.
It's Lamborghini.
I know. I didn't even know that existed. It's like the best of both worlds. Yeah. You have a fancy supercar brand in a champagne bottle.
Yeah.
But that's like, wow, that is so cool.
So you're already tapping into the work that, for example, those luxury brands have already done to generate that glamour.
Yeah.
So some other things, for example, is like cigarettes. I think with time, they'll probably become less glamorous as our culture shifts.
Yeah.
But even if you think about like TV shows like Mad Men, where they're smoking all the time.
Drinking whiskey.
They're drinking whiskey is very glamorous. Like, there's already associations with like elite status and with kind of when you smoke, you're like, you're relaxed and you're contemplating life and the world.
Yeah, I don't smoke cigarettes, but I love cigars.
Right, but cigars are also, can be considered very glamorous from as a totem, right?
Yeah.
Because they're tied to captains of industry, power, you know, that kind of thing. And so essentially, as you're constructing something that's glamorous, for example, if you're creating some sort of advertising campaign, again, you're sort of tapping into this thing where you want to have elements of the unseen for people to project into, but you can also supercharge that with totems, right?
Interesting.
With images and symbols that we already have a cultural association with. That allow like the story to be even more supercharged.
Yeah,
and that's why when we say glamour happens in the minds of the audience, right? If people don't have those associations, right? If you took a person, I don't know, from 1,000 years and you brought them to today, and they've never seen a vintage sports car, they're not going to have the same associations, right?
Or an LV handbag. They're just what is this, a bag?
So knowing your audience is actually also a very important part. When you're sort of trying to structure this thing that casts a spell.
You know, I going back to a topic, you know, or the title of our podcast, Manipulation Games. Like, if you look at a lot of these luxury brands, the fact that I associate a leather bag, like a Louis Vuitton bag, with this dream, like, oh my God, if I have this wallet or this bag, you know, like it's like, and I'm so successful. And the fact that I'm under that spell means that I've been manipulated.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And I it's like, because if you show, again, like you say, if you bring a person back in time, you know, and like from 1,000 years ago, they look at the bag, it has no effect. They're not under the spell.
They're
of
not under
these
the spell.
Luxury brands. And we're all under the spell. Yeah. We don't even know it at the time.
And that's what the, you know, a lot of times that's what people call branding, right?
Yeah.
And so, for example, like, I love wearing leather jackets, like motorcycle jackets, because it gives me access to, again, in this book they use really good words, access to displaced meaning. So for me, leather jackets are connected in my mind to things like the Rolling Stones.
I love it.
To James Dean.
James Dean, that's another guy.
To Rebels.
Yeah. Rebel
to rock and roll stars, to adventure, you know?
Yeah.
And so when you imbue an object, like a luxury product, with all these different stories of meaning, right? By wearing that object, you get to access that feeling, emotion at a whim.
Yeah, that's funny because you wear leather jackets. I like wearing hoodies.
Yeah.
I know it sounds kind of weird, but you know, my background is in technology. And I think like Mark Zuckerberg, right? When he started Facebook, he was known to just wear like a hoodie, you know. And that's the hoodie became almost like a symbol status of like, you know, like, oh, you're a tech guy and you show up to work casually, you know.
Yeah.
But it's funny. But he made it kind of like a luxury kind of thing to, and now they have these really high-end hoodies that cost like, you know, $200 bucks, you know, for, and a lot of people who buy them are actually just tech people, but it's like part of that,
it's part of that culture,
that glamour.
You me. The other one that's actually really interesting to me is that Sam got me my first pair of Air Force Ones.
Oh yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And before that, like once he gave it to me, I started doing research into these shoes, right? And the history and the meaning, and all of a sudden, like something that did not necessarily was not a totem for me, right, all of a sudden started to take on those qualities. It's, right, I started to become aware of it. And so
that's true.
Even though you know, there's, you can have totems from like old rock and roll culture, right? There's totems, for example, from hip-hop culture, you know, things that now have meaning, you know, for people in that world.
No, right? Totally.
And so it gives us access to all these different things. And it's really, really cool where Another one I really love is a lot of the guys in the office love like luxury watches. You know, and so one of my favorite ones is if you know like Rolex or Tudor, right? Uh-huh. Both of those are watches created for divers, for adventurers, particularly for like Navy SEAL type characters.
You know, I never put that together.
They're dive watches, right?
Adventure.
Right.
There you go.
Adventure, unseen adventure is a form of glamour. And so if you watch like the first James Bond movie, right, which is a very glamorous character. Uh-huh. We can get into that. Sean Connery, right? Uh-huh. He's wearing the Rolex Submariner because at that point in time, Rolex was a tool watch, a watch for people who went and did crazy things.
That's so funny.
Right? Yeah. And what's interesting is that I have the exact same strap as him from that movie.
Oh, wow.
Because
there you go.
This strap became known as James Bond's strap.
No way. That's so cool.
The gray and kind
of
black.
And it's nothing fancy. It's just a strap.
But it gives you access to displaced meaning.
So basically what, you know, the access, I think, to the dream is like at any moment, Gene, you could just be going off in the ocean, deep diving.
Yeah.
And like hunting down, I don't know, whatever fish.
It's and the thing is, if you think about it, it's literally magic.
Yeah.
That's what these manipulation games are.
Yes.
We were literally able to synthesize magic.
Wow, the spell.
Right.
Put us under and this,
so,
yeah.
And so that's why glamour is very cool, like, especially once you start thinking about how it works. Uh-huh. And then chances are, once you start thinking about how it works, and we're going to talk about some techniques and stuff like that, you yourself can actually go and, for example, start generating Instagram images for yourself or for your brand or whatever it is, that start giving you the ability to generate this inarticulate longing, again, as Virginia Postrel uses in her book.
Yeah.
She has some really wonderful words in the thing, and I want to give her massive credit because this book really kind of showed things to me. Being able to, once you kind of figure out how it kind of works, you can start using it for a lot of things to start generating and playing a manipulation game with your audience.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Okay, let's see. Let's see what else we got in these.
Sure.
Notes. Okay, so we kind of basically talked about glamour. So glamour is essentially casting a spell. Uh-huh. We're generating something gives pleasure. Uh-huh. Usually it's a visual thing. It gives pleasure, but then generates this sense of yearning, usually through something unseen and potentially through tapping into things like totems to kind of supercharge that, like, the magic of the story that you might be projecting into the thing.
So say I'm just starting a new Instagram like profile, right?
Yeah.
And I want to just start from the very get-go, like, you know, use glamour to kind of like promote or brand my image or whatever I'm trying to like sell.
Okay.
How would I go about that?
All right. So let's think about some techniques. So might be good, potentially think of a product so then we can actually do an actual.
Okay. How about something like, a mail wallet?
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, I got one. Okay, mail wallet. So let's say you're going for like a man who wants to be a man's man.
Yeah.
A wallet on the nightstand.
Okay.
Of some woman's apartment.
Oh.
He met that night.
Oh, and you don't.
The
you
clothes strewn across the floor.
Oh.
The only thing you see is maybe their hands clasped together, kind of off the edge.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It depends on what moment you're trying to capture in the still image, right?
Uh-huh.
But the idea is that you could do a thing where it's a close-up on this nightstand.
Uh-huh.
The wallet's on the nightstand.
Uh-huh.
You could see, like, glamorous clothes, like tuxedo, dress shoes strewn all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And you maybe see like a gorgeous leg hanging off of the edge of the bed.
See, I see this already.
Right. Like, and so again, so you're essentially giving people a glimpse of a moment.
Yeah. You don't want to show the woman, the whole body.
Right.
Like
because
the man.
Then again, you project into it. Right.
See, but that's where, you know, again, like we visualize in our own head, we imagine, we project that romantic scene.
Yeah.
But see, I love that because that's such a good way to start off your brand, to say, this is my wallet. Instead of like just showing a picture of a wallet on a wood, like on a table, you know, like a product photo, you just set the stage and use glamour by kind of letting people play with their own imagination.
Yeah, and another one could be like your wallet's in the cup holder of some super vintage car.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So again, the focus is on the object. Yeah. So again, you kind of can associate with totems. So some of the techniques that you can use to, again, create this sense of yearning. So it has to be something that gives you pleasure. Uh-huh. Right. So the picture has to be somewhat, in some level, interesting and cool or beautiful or whatever it is, but then have this distance. Uh-huh. Right. So something can be far away.
Yeah.
You can be black and white.
Okay.
Black and white tends to be very glamorous. I always thought it was very interesting. There's this band from my neighborhood called The Neighborhood. Right. And
great name.
They're a very glamorous band, and one of the things they do is there's no video of them in color anywhere.
Oh.
To the point of, like, when they went on Letterman or somebody, one of these talk show hosts, they had to force, they wouldn't go unless they would do the broadcast in black and white.
What?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And so, like, that's a very bold branding choice.
But the fact that they had such awareness of their brand and image to basically force a network to shoot them in black and white, that they believe so strongly in that.
They did. And I think a lot of them actually kind of came out of that Tumblr aesthetic.
Oh, okay.
If you think about Tumblr as a place where, like, a lot of these visual memes came from.
Yeah.
You know, Tumblr is a place where it's like, it was a breeding ground for glamorous images.
Yes, and all images too, by the way.
All right, so things that are obscured. So you can't see a person's face.
Okay.
Maybe you see their face, but you only see their lips.
Okay.
For example, if you're doing a cigarette ad, just see the lips. You don't see the top part of the face, right? Yeah. Shadows.
Oh.
Again, we talked about close-up framing on details. So again, if you're doing a wallet, you know, you can have an ad where you focus on the man. Uh-huh. Maybe, you know, like that's a little bit pulled out. Or you can focus on the wallet already in the middle of a story that's happening.
Yeah, see, it's like, I'm already thinking about so many ways. Like, you put the wallet on, like, a boat, on a yacht with a spear, like a fish spear, spear gun or something. And there's, like, water splashing on the sides on the wallet. And, like, it's kind of,
you're taking that wallet and you're associating it with this this adventurous aesthetic, spearfishing. I like that. Yeah. Spearfishing is such
manly, right?
Right. And so, close-up framing is usually a very powerful technique for glamour. Because, again, by close-up framing, you get to focus on a detail. Uh-huh. Like, if you're doing some sort of casino ad, like, you focus on a pack of cards. Uh-huh. Or something, and maybe you see the hands of people with just maybe like fancy rings, or you see just the edge of the tuxedos, right? You don't see the people themselves, so therefore your brain starts projecting into the image the rest of the stuff. It's crazy
because now I'm just thinking, like, every single magazine I flip through, it's just full of these kind of imagery, and I never really put the two and two together, like the picture of the hand on, you know, with the ring, with the fancy ring, with like a poker on a poker felt like poker table, you know,
and which,
like,
is in itself is a totem, right?
Yes.
Associated with all these, like, things of glamour, Monte Carlo.
Yeah, Monte Carlo, right? Like, and so, gambling. Yeah.
So essentially, where we covered distance, black and white, obscuring things. So people, another aspect of obscuring things. For example, if you can't see somebody's face, let's say you see a Marlboro ad of a very masculine man, and you can't see his face. One of the aspects of it is you, as a man, can sort of maybe start projecting yourself into that character.
Ah, so you don't want to necessarily show the face so that you can project you being in that cowboy hat.
Right. You'd be like, all of a sudden, like, you know, you know, once you see something, you could potentially, you know, break that spell.
So that's why I think, again, like shadows, right?
You just
show the shadow. You don't actually show the person because they can pretend that that's your shadow.
Yeah. Glimpses of moments. So again, as we mentioned, a lot of glamour takes place in still images. Uh-huh. Right, because you have incomplete information. You just have a moment of time. In the form of video, you can still pull it off. Like, I think a good example of it is like Lana Del Rey music videos.
Oh, I love Lana Del Rey,
Because again, if you pay attention to a lot of her, like, especially her early music videos, it's just glimpses of moments.
Yeah.
It's like the 1960s Ford Mustang.
No.
The guy in jeans, you can sort of see his abs, but you can't really see the rest of him. He's got tattoos. Yeah. Like, again, all these different things. You're getting glimpses, so your mind can kind of project,
you know,
the rest of the story, the rest of what their life
might be. Funny. I mean, do you know, like, Lana, I think she was originally just like a pop singer.
Yeah.
And she just changed her stage name and created this whole persona. But she basically probably, like, textbook, used everything, all the techniques about the power of glamour to build her image. And that was like...
She's a master.
Like a master. But it's all planned. It's not like she just went out and said, oh, I'm going to be like this.
I'm sure she's thinking about it.
Yeah.
Even if you think about some of the icons of glamour that are in there, like Jackie Kennedy. Kennedy shows up in Lana Del Rey videos.
Oh, yeah.
She has that song, National Anthem, right?
Yeah,
she's tapping into the Camelot, John F. Kennedy, Jackie Kennedy thing. Again, a totem. You associate yourself with things that already have kind of that deep cultural meaning to us. So as techniques, you know, so the close-up framing, glimpses of moments associating with totems. This one I like is Spike, my boss, uses it a lot. But Spike doesn't like people to be looking into the camera in any ads. And that kind of makes sense, right? Because one of the things what happens is that when you look into the camera and the person is looking at the image, our eyes tend to move towards eye contact.
I see. That makes sense.
And so not looking into the camera is a very glamorous technique.
You know, that technique is used a lot by bands too. If you ever look at covers, you know, album covers or like music videos, it's always very mysterious.
It's very mysterious, kind of right? And it's looking. Also, it's aloof. It's I'm not interested in you. I'm kind of in my own world.
Yeah.
So not seeing the full picture. We've talked about the golden era of the past. That's a big thing. One aspect of it is I kind of thought about is dead movie stars and dead rock stars, the 27 Club, where the unseen comes into play through that unattained potential.
Oh, like Jimi Hendrix.
Like Jimi Hendrix. Chocolate. Like James Dean.
James Dean.
Like Marilyn Monroe.
Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison, one of my idols, right?
Exactly.
Is that if Jim Morrison survived, he wouldn't be as glamorous.
Wow.
Because then you wouldn't have that unseen aspect.
Yeah, you don't know what he would have done. You project what he would have probably done if he was still alive.
Yeah, you have some sort of image in your mind that you're projecting of what is possible.
Yeah, like John Lennon. I love the Beatles, and I always think what would the Beatles be like if John Lennon was still alive, or just all of his work was so amazing.
Yeah, and so a big aspect of when you're crafting like a glamorous communication, right, is you're showing the edges of something. And then somebody can sort of project the rest into it.
Love it.
And so one aspect of it is eliminating distance or eliminating the unseen breaks the spell.
Okay.
Right. So a good example of that, for example, is movie posters and movie trailers are very glamorous.
Okay. Yeah.
But once you see the movie, glamour's gone.
It's like
because the trailer it generates the potential of the adventure.
You know, if you think about it, a trailer is just like a highlight reel, for a glamour reel almost.
Exactly, it's the glimpses.
You get glimpses
of the moments.
Yeah,
right. It gives you pleasure, but leaves you longing.
Yeah, like Star Wars: A New Hope. You know, like the trailer, it just sets you up. It's like even the title is like A New Hope. What is that? You know, but it's like, but even the movie posters are like those famous movie posters from the 80s where you just have portraits of people's heads kind of like looking off to the side, you know, and they're just floating. But it's very glamorous.
Yeah. And so one of the tests I often like to think about is if you're testing for glamour is, again, sort of think of it from that, again, that horror movie standpoint. The monster is scariest when you don't see the monster.
Yeah.
So when you're testing whether something you're generating has the potential for glamour, are you asking, are you showing too much of the monster?
Yeah. So that's something that you can do, Chuck, in your own head.
In your own head, right. You have to give enough to create the horror, but not too much.
Like a movie poster where there's a knife that's bloody in the hand, and that's it. And a shadow in a doorway.
And then
you don't want to give away too much.
And then the rest in your brain basically continues to project
into it. I get it. I get it already. That's amazing.
All right. So it's basically a window or sneak peek or trailer into something, right? And then once it's seen, the glamour essentially breaks. All right. So essentially, we've sort of covered what glamour is and some of the techniques of glamour. I think we talked a little about totems.
Yeah.
I think we could jump around through some totems just for fun to kind of light up some neurons in people's brains about stuff.
Yeah, give me a list.
But then one of the cool topics that we're going to get to in a minute is how glamour is different from charisma because they're opposites.
You mentioned this.
Yes.
I'm so curious.
And this is something that Virginia Postrel brought up. And it's mind-blowing.
I would have never even put the two together in opposite spectrums of, like, what they are. But but I'm sure when you explain it, it's gonna people are going to be like, whoa, that, you're right. It's true.
All right, so this is just off the top of my head last night. I just started writing down everything. Basically, these are totems.
Totems.
Right? Things that, objects that are already associated with deeper meaning that people have, and themes. So the sunglasses we're wearing at the beginning.
Sunglasses.
Things. And particularly certain types of sunglasses, like Ray-Bans, have this association where they've been worn through such an amount of time by so many different kinds of people that all of a sudden, you just including that into an image adds to its glamour. So black and white shadows, analog photographs with the grit, the little scratches and breaks, staring into the distance, leather jackets, and the like adventure, motorcycles, James Dean, vintage sports cars, tuxedos.
Yeah.
A lot of these next ones, honestly, is just basically just James Bond. So tuxedos, casinos, yachts, speedboats, cigarettes, martinis, champagne, windows and balconies, airlines, the Orient. So Egypt, East Asia, think Indiana Jones. For a long time, there used to be this thing of Orientalism where people in the West, like in England in the Victorian era, were obsessed with the idea of going to the pyramids. And so glamour is a very big part of tourism and travel type advertising.
It's
the ability to create that thing where you see a glimpse of a place you can go to, and then you start projecting yourself into it. Hollywood, just in general, it's a good example of from a distance, glamorous. You actually go to Hollywood.
not
so much.
Not right now, especially.
the spell breaks, right? Palm trees, California, the suntan.
Oh,
it comes up in that book as one of the icons. Italy.
Oh,
Paris. Cowboys. We talked about the Marlboro Man and the whole the Wild West. The open road.
Okay.
Crystalline beaches, like crystalline water, blue beaches. This is a fun one because this kind of comes up in like more interpersonal relationships. Foreign men and foreign women.
I totally get it. Yeah.
Right. Because the unseen.
Yeah.
The stuff that's not understood. The distance, right? And so those are like, again, those are little themes and things that like tap into it and are totems that could be used. And one of the things you could potentially do as, for example, if you're trying to create glamorous content, right, is you sit down, you start writing down everything that gets that, gives you that like feeling, that association to yourself.
I feel like you just already gave all the ingredients to...
Well, I mean, those are ones of, for example, that came up for me.
Yeah. And it was a pretty extensive list, but it's like you could keep going on and on, like, you know, like surfing or, you know, like something just romantic that interests you that, you know, you can kind of like piece together for your own brand. But it's like you just follow the recipe, put the ingredients in a pot, and you don't have to even think that much to be glamorous or at least create something that's glamorous. It's if you understand all the pieces that go into it.
So the main thing I think is that's the easiest ways is you tap into the unseen somehow. And then you associate with totems. And again, the totems can be different for different groups of people, different audiences, right? For example, we were talking about how the Air Force Ones, right, are very powerful totem for people who love Michael Jordan and love basketball. All right, so let's jump into this glamour versus charisma thing. Then I think my touch base on glamour versus cool, and cool I think is going to be a different topic that we're going to go into. It's another topic that we can actually go into the same way we did into glamour.
Okay.
But on a different topic.
So let's talk about charisma. All right.
So, okay, the best way to do this is that it was done here in this chart, which is absolutely amazing. All right, so the differences between glamour and charisma. Glamour is cool.
Okay.
Charisma is warm.
Huh.
Right? And it'll make sense as we start going to examples. Glamour is distant. Charisma is personal.
Okay.
Right? Glamour invites admiration. Charisma invites loyalty.
Ooh, I like that one.
Right? So again, glamour is like you're looking at something from a distance.
Yeah.
right? It's something that's unseen, it's unattainable, and therefore we project into it and we idolize it.
That makes a lot of sense, right? Yeah.
While charisma is like good leadership.
Yeah.
Or somebody who's speaking to us, who makes us feel good, and we want to be around them, right? Yeah. Glamour, audience defines meaning.
Okay.
The same way, by projecting, the audience is the one that defines the meaning.
Okay.
While charisma, charismatic person defines the meaning.
Oh, I love that one too.
Right. Yeah. So the person who's speaking to us, you know, the charismatic person, potentially, well, I don't know, the leader, the military officer, the president, the cult leader, they kind of give us the meaning.
They project onto you, or they
pass it on to you. While with glamour projecting. Is that you're creating an image that has space in it for the audience to fill in the gaps.
I see.
Glamour is desire. Mm-hmm. Invokes desire. Charisma invokes commitment.
Mm.
Glamour is a still photo, while charisma is a live performance.
Oh, okay.
Right. That's why, like, a lot of times, imagine if we went and we met Marilyn Monroe in person or James Dean, the spell would break. Chances are, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they probably were amazing people, but only being able to interact with them through a still photo.
Mm-hmm.
Is what allows us for it to be glamorous.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Right. But once it becomes a live performance, they would have to lean on charisma to be able to create an effect in us.
Interesting.
Glamour is sales. Charisma is leadership.
Mm.
Right?
Okay.
Glamour, I like this one. Glamour is good for campaigning.
Okay.
Charisma is good for governing.
Interesting.
Right. So glamour helps you maybe win an election.
Yeah.
But charisma is necessary to govern.
That's so funny. So you have to. So if you're, that's actually really practical advice.
Right.
Like if you're ever running for something, you need to really focus on your glamour.
Right.
And then finally, you know, when you win, then
then you have to shift towards being charismatic,
be
right?
A leader. Good leader. Yeah.
So here's some examples, I guess, of people or things. That are glamour versus charisma. So you can agree with this, maybe not. I don't know, but glamour, Barack Obama.
Okay.
Charisma, Bill Clinton. So Barack Obama is kind of cool. He's a little bit distant, right?
Yeah.
Bill Clinton was one of these people who was like, would talk to everybody and was known for kind of thing.
Yeah.
Glamour, Che Guevara.
Okay.
You know Che Guevara?
Yeah.
Right? Charisma, Fidel Castro.
So the opposite.
Because Castro was the leader. Yeah. He's the warm thing.
He's the leader.
But Che Guevara, most of us interact with him.
Yeah,
That T-shirt that everybody wears.
He's romanticized,
yeah, right? He's a distant thing of a, you know, revolutionary, rebellious leader,
because
right?
He's dead, so we have to reject everything onto that image of who we think he was.
Exactly,
which may be totally not true.
Right, so. Interesting. This one I don't know as well because I'm not as well versed in basketball, but they say Michael Jordan is glamour, while Magic Johnson is charisma.
Oh, totally true.
Okay,
yeah, totally true.
I remember I saw that movie Air.
Yeah,
and what I kind of liked about it, that was an interesting choice. Is you don't see the actor's face.
Yeah,
Michael Jordan.
I know. You hear which is an
interesting choice, right?
Up.
And again,
that's a really good.
It's the no face technique from glamour, right?
That's a very good point. Yes.
Glamour, John Lennon.
Yeah.
Charisma, Janis Joplin.
Oh, even though they both died.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's kind of interesting.
Okay. This one again, I don't know if I completely understand, but the Star Trek fans might. Glamour, Spock. Charisma, Kirk.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Okay.
Charisma he's a leader. Spock is more like soft-spoken.
Hip hop. So, Tupac Shakur. Glamour.
Yeah.
Charisma, Snoop Dogg.
Perfect example too,
right?
Yeah, because again, Tupac, we project onto like
we project
this romantic,
you know, and again, it's that aspect of unattained potential.
Yeah,
he died too young, and then you know, we think about like, you know, what could have been possible.
Yeah,
what was there, right? This one's a little bit funny. Well, not fun. It's sad too, but glamour, Joan of Arc dead. Charisma, Joan of Arc alive. Right.
That's funny.
So, and honestly, that's actually probably right. a really big thing with charismatic leaders. Uh-huh. Charismatic leaders are charismatic while they're alive.
She led very well, but then when she died, then she became glamorous.
Glamorous, yeah. Right. And, you know, and a lot of times, like a lot of saints and a lot of legends are glamorous. Yeah, are things that we kind of project into. Yeah. And then this last one, again, I remember when I was in second grade, all the girls were crying when Princess Diana died. Uh-huh. But they're saying here, glamour, early Princess Diana, charisma, late Princess Diana.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe she shifted her her way of interacting the world during that time.
Yeah, because the first image everyone had of Princess Diana was, you know, her being a bride walking down the aisle.
Yeah, that picture's in his book.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So,
but that's like that. But then. While she's just new, everyone's projecting her as this princess.
That's about this potential. Potential. That could be there.
Yeah, right? And then next you know, she's on TV, and next you get to know her, and she's just, you know, who she is. So you can't, it's like the trailer, right?
It's the trailer,
The wedding was the trailer, and the movie was her life. And you're after you watch her life, okay, well, maybe she's not exactly what I thought she was.
Yeah, and so I felt like that one section of glamour versus charisma was actually one of the things that helped me understand glamour even better. Because having that contrast, right?
Yeah.
That glamour is cool. It's distant, right? It's the thing that had potential that we project into, while charisma is the thing that's actually still there.
No, that's leadership. That's such a good concrete example where you kind of define what glamour is. So that when you are doing whatever marketing kind of stuff you're doing, whether it's Instagram or like ads or creatives or even copies or photos, or even if you're a photographer, right?
Yeah.
Like if you want to actually create something glamorous, those are like you can do that kind of test in your own mind. Is that glamorous or is that charismatic? And so then you can carve out whatever kind of thing you want to put up, you know, into sprinkle that magic of glamour into whatever creative.
Yeah, and one of the things that comes up with it is like, if you're talking too much, you're probably not glamorous.
Mm.
But you might have the potential to be charismatic.
So it's like it's not necessarily they're both like kind of like this, right? You can sometimes have both.
You can have some both,
right? More of some one other as opposed to the other, but they're very like kind of balanced. They balance each other. Yeah,
they're both essentially methods or phenomenon of manipulation of manipulation games.
Manipulation games,
right? And I think that bit I think is a good illustration of glamour. I at some point in time I also wanted to potentially talk about glamour versus cool because they're very closely related. But that might be something we could talk about at a future point when we talk about what cool is and the concept of cool.
Can you give us a little trailer?
A little glimpse of cool?
A glamorous glimpse of what cool is.
So cool basically is this idea of what they call, sometimes people call effortless grace. And so one interesting thing, there was no really idea of cool, for example, in Europe. In the past, right? The closest thing that came to it is something called sprezzatura, which is the ability of somebody to do something difficult while making it look easy.
That sounded cool, by the way.
Yeah. And like the gentleman would strive for sprezzatura. But where cool actually kind of came from, and I learned this from my history of jazz class in UC Santa Barbara, and which again taught me so much, was it came from the slaves.
And it came
from basically them going through difficult situations and them not wanting to give like their abusive masters the satisfaction of seeing suffering on their face.
Wow, that's deep.
Right. And so basically cool was basically the ability to go through difficulties and suffering while showing
none of it on your face. We can really go into that.
Right.
I'm now thinking, because that totally redefines what I think cool is in my own head. Because that's like, that really gets down to what root of what cool originated from.
Exactly. It's basically, it's the ability to essentially do difficult things while showing no like effort or struggle on your face.
Very cool. Very cool.
Which in a sense is also very glamorous. Yeah. So they're tied together. They're adjacent, but they're kind of different phenomenon in that space. So I guess at this point, maybe should we do a quick wrap up? of what we learned today.
Well, I feel like I've learned so much about glamour just from like listening to you that if you know, before I was never really able to define what it was. You know, I just knew something was glamour. It's kind of like if you look at a color red, I just know it's red.
Yeah.
But I couldn't really define what it was. The same thing with glamour. Like if I see something that's glamorous, oh, that's glamorous. But now that I feel like I have like the knowledge to actually carve out some sort of like creative, and this goes beyond marketing. This goes into like music or art or photography or anything, just your own personality. If you want to project glamour in your personality by looking distant or wearing something cool like totems, like shoes.
Yeah. So, for example,
project something.
If you go out to the bar tonight, right, and you wear a tuxedo and you stand at the far end of the bar and interact with nobody while looking staring at the distance, no, you will be glamorous.
That's
no,
awesome.
No, chances are people will see you and they would witness you as glamorous.
Yeah.
The downfall is that when they start speaking to you, chances are the glamour, the spell would break.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the nature of glamour,
so
right?
It only works up to a certain point. So
there's a certain.
Then
yeah.
you have to be charismatic. Yeah.
Then you have to be charismatic, yeah. Which is cool. So if you can master both glamour and charisma, very, very cool.
Then watch out.
Very, very cool.
So. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up. This was a fun episode. I love learning about glamour. Again, I never thought I could listen, you know, someone talk about glamour for I don't know how long we were on, for however long we were talking, but I just found it so fascinating. I feel so empowered, and I feel like I can look at things and understand things more. Like, it's like almost like the Matrix. Like, whoa, they put a lot of work into that awesome. Brand, you know, because, you know, they did this and this and this to make it glamorous.
Yeah.
And I could articulate that to people now. So I feel very, very grateful that we had this fun little podcast.
Yeah, no, this is very, very cool.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks, Gene. Thank you for joining us on Manipulation Games, Psychology and Marketing Podcast. Any closing thoughts?
Stay glamorous.
I love it. All right, thanks, guys. Bye.